pretty much everybody is being impacted in one form or another by the COVID-19 pandemic, and that's pretty much true globally. There are some pockets that haven't been impacted yet. They will be, though, when it gets to them. We're seeing increases in Russia now. Even Vladimir Putin has sort of acknowledged that, yeah, we should have taken this a little bit more seriously. It's getting worse where they are. Some of the people that you're probably not going to feel real sorry for who are being impacted by this are the people who run organized crime in North America. One of the great crime writers we've got in this country is Peter Edwards of the Toronto Star. If you've not laid your hands on his great book, The Bandito Massacre, it's got a great, in fact, it is really a Winnipeg story, and it's a terrific read. Peter Edwards joins us today. Peter, always great to have you back on the show. Welcome back to your hometown.
Oh, it's always great to be back.
So organized crime has having its challenges with COVID-19 too. How come? What's the issue?
Well, there's a lot of different things. One of them is gambling. All the big leagues have shut down, and so it's really hard to get sports gambling going, and that's a huge one. Chemical drugs, a lot of the ingredients come from China. They go to Mexico, and then they come up here, and so that's been disrupted as well. Those are two of the big ones. Some of their legitimate businesses, a lot of these guys have real estate and restaurants, and that's been hurt as well. Like, they can't collect the money if the tenants or customers don't have it.
Wow. All right. So is it because the borders are tighter than they've been before?
The cocaine's still crossing. Like, a lot of that was coming across in trucks, in hidden compartments, and it's still moving. So I checked with a reporter in Montreal who's really good, Daniel Renault, and we both found that cocaine prices had barely gone up since the pandemic started, and so it's still making it across. But the chemical stuff, fentanyl, that sort of thing, it's just harder to get together for these guys.
So why is that? Because, you know, how were they getting it across before?
Before, it was kind of odd because they were even sending it in the mail. Like, before, fentanyl is such a tiny, tiny, potent, deadly thing, but they were mixing it up in Mexico and then sending it north, and they just don't have the ingredients because a lot of that was coming from China.
Oh, okay. So it's a supply problem here then.
Yeah. They've and distribution's a problem because now some of them are freaked out because they're more visible police. Like, there might be fewer police listening in on their phones, but there are more police driving around in cars who will see them if they bounce from business to business or place to place.
So what are they doing? I mean, are they losing money right now? Are they like all other businesses where there's this decline in revenue?
Some of them are, and some of them, like, there's some of them who've invested in clothing stores. You wouldn't think so, but some of them have little boutiques and that sort of stuff suffering. The ones who are better online, they're doing okay. And internationally, there's a lot more investment in healthcare, and there are a lot of scams going on with fake medical supplies, fake cures, that sort of thing. So some of them are just channeling their efforts into COVID type industries.
So how, you know, usually organized crime is ahead of the curve and figures out a way to overcome challenges like this. Are there plans in the works, do you think? Are there ways that they can work around this?
One would be the medical investment. I mean, they've done very well out of disasters before. Like, back in the 1880s, there was a cholera plague in Italy, and they actually did very, very well hijacking goods. Or when there's an emergency situation in place, that means there are fewer checks and balances and fewer people you have to approach to get things to swing your way. So they're finding in Eastern Europe, companies that have never had anything to do with medical supplies are all of a sudden winning contracts. And so I think some of them will go that route. Some of them will just go the scam route. it sounds awful, but drug addicts will always buy drugs, and they'll be the ones supplying it, and gamblers will find something to gamble on. I mean, they've got people gambling on virtual sports right now that don't actually take place, and they've got fixing on soccer games that, you know, a fat old guy like me could play in those games.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are a lot of people who are in the business of game fixing, and we know that soccer, particularly in some parts of Europe, has been, you know, long been known to have people fixing it. Those guys are out of business right now too, aren't they?
They're fixing some games that are so bad that nobody televises it and nobody's allowed to watch it, but they've been in some little spots of Scandinavia and Eastern Europe where social isolation isn't that big of a deal. They've actually had sports there that have been fixed. But I mean, it gets kind of ridiculous. I mean, this stuff's two levels under caber tossing, you know, as far as the gambler's preferred thing.
Wow. But you know, they're not going away, these guys, right? I mean, they're not going to say, oh, well, my chemical business has dried up, so I'm going to go get a job at the post office.
No, and it is what they do, and also they're very good at it. Also, there are huge opportunities, like the Great Depression in 1929. They used to extort businesses, and then when businesses didn't have enough money to extort, what they did was loan them money, and then that would give them a way in the door and a front man. And so I think we're going to see a lot of these guys going into pay loan places. I'm seeing a lot of ads for, you know, you need money fast and come to me sort of thing. And I think we're going to see more of that in the long term. That'll give them investment in the mainstream economy.
Yikes. So they'll be back. They're not even going away now, are they?
Yeah, it's more like they're just changing their costume. You know, like they're just, they are criminals, and they're not. It's sort of like you're an athlete, and if you can't play soccer, you're going to play hockey. You know, they'll find a different way of profiting from it. They're not finding religion tomorrow.
No, this goes back, doesn't it, Peter, to the old Lucky Luciano mindset, where, you know, we're not just criminals, we're business people. So they're going to find businesses to get into.
Yeah, and if you're if you think of yourself as a business person, you're just looking for the opportunities. You're looking for vulnerable things. It's going to make the ones who are smart on the internet, they're going to profit. Kind of oddly, some of the older ones who are, you know, they have more to fear from COVID-19. They're actually in some parts of the world enforcing social isolation because they're worried themselves. And so in parts of Brazil, Mexico, Italy, some of these guys are the ones who are helping out for isolation. But there are a lot of odd things. Like there was a mafia funeral in Sicily this week and people showed up for that. And then there was a big stink about social isolation. So it gets odd. It's hard to also collect your debts from somebody when you're not allowed to approach them.
Is that going to stop some of the mafiosi?
No, it'll just be different ways, like different ways of threatening. And overall, it'll kind of cull the herd, but the smarter ones who are better in technology will thrive from this. The older ones who are the neighborhood ones who scare people, they'll fall by the wayside a bit. And the sort of younger, more tech-savvy ones will, a lot of them will really thrive.
Are the biker gangs still in operation? Are they going to get through this?
Yeah, it's kind of odd for them because they're supposed to meet monthly and have six people at a meeting. They call them church meetings. And so in some rural parts, you can still meet. I'm snooping around about how they do it in you know, in big urban settings. I don't know if they can do these Zoom meetings, like if you get a Zoom church or whatever. Some of them are pretty heavily into chemical drugs, and so you don't have raves now. You don't have these concerts where you can sell them. You have a harder time getting the chemical drugs, so that's a problem. But some of them are pretty heavily into sports gambling. There was something called Platinum Sportsbook that had a Canadian firm that had Hells Angels and Mafia guys in it, and that had its its servers down in Caribbean countries that didn't have extradition treaties, and so that's suffering quite a bit. Like, those guys will have to, bite the bullet a bit.
Peter, always great to talk to you. Thanks very much for this.
Oh, no, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Peter Edwards, a great writer for the Toronto Star, and check out his book. That if you care about the things that have happened crime-wise here in Winnipeg and that connection to Southern Ontario, The Bandito Massacre is a great read. And I know everybody's looking for something good to read these days. Get your hands on The Bandito Massacre. Well, in terms of our COVID numbers here, and we'll have an update at 1 o'clock this afternoon, our provincial total number of cases still stands at 246. Four people have passed away in Manitoba, so our mortality rate in Manitoba is very low. Nine people in hospital, four are intensive care, 99 are listed as having recovered so far. And so in Manitoba, it has gone very well thus far. So far, the numbers are good. Again, the rate of testing is not probably where we would like it to be. You want to help out some of the local charities, all you have to do is go to our homepage, cgob.com, and check out the Give Back, the CGOB Give Back icon there, and help out some of the local charities if you can. Hey, understand, a lot of you are not working right now. You're maybe getting by on a little bit of some of that government assistance. If you're one of the provincial government employees, maybe you're worried about losing some of your income. You're a business owner. You just don't have the dough right now. But if you are one of the fortunate few, still working full-time, and you've got a few dollars to spare for our local charities, we've got a list of them on our homepage, cgob.com, and it's our CGOB Give Back icon. Some new research, according to our global colleague Brianna Carnegie, tells us that the recommendation of social distancing by 2 meters may still not be enough.
When a person coughs without covering their mouth, their droplets can travel quite some distance.
At least 10% of what comes out of the mouth can travel 2.5-3 meters away within about 3 seconds.
Western University researcher Dr. Eric Savory says those particles can remain in the air for a couple minutes. They built what's called a cough chamber during the 2017-18 influenza season, and their findings are now being applied to help limit the spread of COVID-19. Savory notes people should follow health recommendations and distance from the public by at least 2 meters.
If you're too close, within a meter or so, there's always the risk of droplets being expelled directly onto you.
Brianna Carnegie, Global News.